The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Are you excited to be here today?
Yes.
Hey, ladies, did you enjoy IF weekend? All right. So almost 90 ladies are here for the weekend for our women's gathering. You'll see a bunch of them wearing their women's Harvest Women's merch today. I love it. I was able to be here for just a little while. Ava was giving me a hard time yesterday. She's like, "Dad, why are you here? You're not a woman." I was like, "Well, I'm the pastor and I have a key." So I snuck in. I did steal a little bit of their good food. I will say, men, that a women's gathering smells a lot better than men's conference smelled. But it was awesome what God did this weekend. Also, ladies, this was announced at IF, but if you weren't here, the next women's event is something called Tables of Eight. It's coming up April 27th, and it's really simple concept. They've got a bunch of ladies that are hosting groups of eight at various restaurants around the city, and just one night, you pick a group, you pick a restaurant, you meet, you sign up, you meet that group there, you make some new friends, you have some conversations. We take it seriously here when we say we don't do life alone. This is one of the ways that you can get into community, make some friends. So I was thinking this morning, would I choose my table of eight based on the person hosting it or the restaurant that they're eating at? I'll just tell you, I'm going to pick by the restaurant, okay? I'll just tell you right now. So either way, grab two or three friends, say, "Hey, let's sign up. Let's join a group." It's one night. It's not this big commitment. So I hope that you'll do that, ladies. And is anyone excited about Easter week? We're entering Easter week now. I know it's already been talked about, but prayer walk on Friday. Thank you to everyone who stuffed eggs. We have extravaganza on Saturday at Marie Hughes, 15,000 eggs and bounce houses and hot dogs and all this stuff. It's going to be just a phenomenal time. And then Easter Sunday, and I've been asking for several weeks, who are you inviting to Easter Sunday? I hope you've already invited someone. If you haven't, start. Get it this week. We've got some cards that'll help you to do that. Today we're continuing what is a theme for our entire year. We started the year with this statement, Jesus over everything. And this month we wanted to talk about prayer, because I believe prayer is the most practical way for you and I to put Jesus over everything. And so today I want to continue talking about prayer. I want to answer what I believe are some common questions, because these are questions that I've been asked over the years as a pastor. Questions like, how often should I pray? Is it okay to pray about the same thing over and over? And then this is kind of a big one. This is a loaded one. Is what do I do if nothing happens when I pray? Have any of you ever prayed for something for a really long time? Anyone? And have you ever prayed for something and you prayed for a long time and you didn't see the answer that you were asking God to do? It feels like God didn't answer, you know, that prayer request. Those are complicated things, and I want to try to help you with that today. I'm going to answer all of these questions with the same answer. I'm going to tell it to you right now, and then we're going to just break it down. So here's my answer to all of those questions. You ready for it? Here it is. Keep on praying. All right. That's my answer. How often do I pray? Keep on praying. Is it okay to pray about the same thing over and over? Keep on praying. What do I do if it doesn't seem like God's answering my prayers? Keep on praying. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, we looked at this last week. It's in a passage about the armor of God. It talks about how we as believers can fight the enemy, Satan, and it gives us all of this armor to put on. And then it ends that passage with this powerful verse. It says, and pray in the Spirit. And that's what we talked about last week, how to pray in the Spirit. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always, and here it is, you'll realize I wasn't very creative in my title, Ephesians 6:18, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. If you've been praying for something for a long time, if you've been trying to endure in prayer, if you've been believing for a miracle and you're just not sure if God's even hearing you or what's happening, I'm encouraged, and I want to encourage you, because today is for you. I believe this every single week, and I believe it today, that today you're not here by accident. That the message that God has put in my heart for today is a message that you need for you, for today, for your family, for your miracle, for your situation. So I want to take just a minute. We do this every week. I don't want it to grow old, but I always like to pause right as we're getting into God's word to say a quick prayer. And the purpose of this prayer is that we would position our hearts to hear from God. We know that God's word is living and it's active, and that every time we open it, that it has answers for the things that we're facing. And so because of that, we take it really serious when we open God's word. And so one of the things I do in my own prayer time and my own time with the Lord is right as I'm getting into it, I just pause and I go, God, you know what this day's looked like. You know what's on my mind. You know what's going on. And so, Lord, I just open my heart to hear from you today. And I love leading you in that same prayer every Sunday. And so would you join me in that prayer? How many of you will join me in that prayer? I'm using positive peer pressure right now because I want everyone to pray that prayer. So let's do it right now. Jesus, we're so thankful for your word. We pause right now, and whatever has happened today or this week, we push it aside. We focus completely on you. We listen. We tune in to you. And Lord, we are asking, we know that where two or three are gathered, that there you are. And that right now you're in our midst. And so we elevate this moment. We ask you to talk to us today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Sometimes I'm asked silly questions. Like this, do you like to hunt or fish more? That's a silly question. My answer is yes. Sometimes I'm asked this question, it's a silly question. Would you rather have steak or ribs? That's a silly question. The answer is yes. Right? I'm asked silly questions sometimes, like this is a really silly one, sweet or unsweet tea. Let me tell you why this is silly, because unsweet tea is just colored water, and the only thing you do with that is you pour it out on the ground. The only answer is sweet tea, okay? You thought I was going to say yes again. I just needed to teach you about sweet tea. Sometimes I'm asked, is my wife awesome? The answer is yes. I just wanted to say that because my wife is awesome, and I'm so proud of what she did with her team, with IF. I'm so proud of them. I brought up a question earlier, how often should I pray? Here's my answer, yes. How often? Is it every day, every week, every month, every hour, every minute? Yes. How often should I pray? Yes. I'm going to teach you, I'm not going to teach you three words, I'm going to use three words today that will help us to keep on praying. The first one is this, consistency. Consistence. Tony Robbins said, it's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives, it's what we do consistently. This is why I'm taking the entire month of March to teach on prayer, is that I'm hoping that for you and I, that prayer is not just an event, but it becomes a lifestyle. I've realized that every single person that I look up to for their faith, people that are in my life as mentors, as they've discipled me over my lifetime, every single one of them, if I look at their lives, one of the things that I'll find is that all of them have developed a consistent prayer life. They don't just pray once in a while, they pray consistently. David Platt teaches on prayer, and he says this. I heard him a few months ago. I wrote this down as I heard it. He said, seek God early, late, and long. This is consistent prayer. There's a lot of examples of consistency in the Bible, but I want to take you to one that I think might be the most consistent person that we read about in the Bible. He goes by the name of Daniel, and we read his story in the book of Daniel. I want to go for a few minutes to Daniel chapter 6. You might know parts of Daniel's story, but I want to help you with it today because we learn about consistency. Daniel chapter 6 verse 1 says, it pleased Darius, he was the king, to appoint 120 and 20 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So what you're seeing right off the bat is that Daniel is being elevated into a place of leadership. There's 120 leaders, and there's 3 that are overseeing those, and one of those is a guy by the name of Daniel. They were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among all of the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to put him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." In other words, we can't find anything wrong with Daniel. The only way we're going to trap him is if we find a way to trap him because of his faith. As I read through Daniel's story, I wrote down a couple of words that describe Daniel and his character, what he was known for. Daniel was faithful. He was trustworthy. He was responsible. And one of the words I would use is that Daniel is consistent. So these leaders that don't like Daniel very much, they came up with a plan. We keep reading in verse 6. It says, "So they went as a group to the king and they said, 'May King Darius live forever.'" Anyone ever in a class with some brown nosers, right? With some kiss ups, right? Here they are, right? They come in the door like, "Oh, King, you are the best," right? And poor King Darius, he was just eating it up. He's like, "Oh, tell me more, right?" And so they come and they say, they come with this plan. They said, "We agree that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. So he makes this decree that for 30 days, you're not allowed to pray to anyone except him. But we know that Daniel is trustworthy, he's responsible, he's consistent. So what did Daniel do? Verse 10 says this: "Now, when Daniel learned the decree had been published," so he knew about this decree, "he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem, and 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God," and watch this, "just as he had done before." That little phrase, "just as he'd done before," is a pretty big hint towards his consistency. This wasn't a one-off occasion. This wasn't him being rebellious towards King Darius's edict. He just continued to be consistent and to do what he had always done before. So Daniel ends up being thrown into the lion's den, and the next day he spent a night there. The next day the king went to check on him, and verse 23 says this: "The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him," and pay attention to this, "because he had trusted in his God." Because he trusted in his God. You probably, especially if you grew up in church, you probably heard this story a few dozen times. Daniel in the lion's den. I've heard it a bunch. I've taught it a bunch. But as I was thinking about prayer and I was thinking about consistency, and then I read this line that he was lifted from the lion's den because he had trusted in God, it made me ask myself this question: when did Daniel learn to trust God? When did he learn to trust God? And I think this is an important life lesson for you and I, because I'll just spoiler alert, tell you this, that he didn't learn to trust God in the lion's den. By the time that Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, he had already built his trust. He learned to trust God through consistent prayer. And when the lions came, all that did is it revealed who Daniel trusted. See, this is an important life lesson for you and I, because more than likely, you and I will not be thrown into a pit of lions. Thank God, right? But we have our own issues to face. So I might say it this way, is that we don't learn to trust when the doctor says that we have cancer. Like that's not a good time to try to figure out, well, who do I trust, right? We don't build trust the moment that your boss lays you off. Are you following me? We don't learn trust when there's a crisis. Crisis reveals who you trust. So for the believer, we build our trust through consistent prayer. I've done a lot of running in my life, and one of the things that I set out to do in my younger days is that I grew up running like 5Ks and 10Ks, and so one day I decided I wanted to run my first marathon, 26.2 miles, and so I joined a running club, and I started increasing my mileage. I started reading about, you know, runners. I started researching running shoes. I started researching all of the things, and here's a lesson that I learned in marathon training, is that you have to keep your body fueled in order to finish the race. And so what I learned was this, is that I had to eat before I was hungry, and I had to drink before I was thirsty. And the lesson was this, is that I learned that if I got behind on fueling my body, that it was almost impossible to catch back up. And so I learned to put some patterns in my training. In fact, on some of my really long runs, when I was running, well, you know, by myself, I would go ahead and I would chart my course, and I would stash water bottles, you know, in bushes, in various places around, you know, the city, right? At one point, I called a friend and I said, hey, I'm going to be running one of my long runs past your house. Is it okay if I stop and use your water hose to get some water? He said yes. When I got there, it was really, really hot, so I also decided to jump into his pool, okay? I didn't ask for that. I figured if I can use his hose, I can use his pool. And what I learned is that I had to fuel early and I had to fuel often. In running world, you'll hear the thing where they say hitting the wall. Like you run so far, you run out of energy, you deplete your fuel, you run into a wall. Sometimes they'll call it bonking. You're running and you just bonk. You run out of energy. Some of you are like, that is why I don't run very far, right? I learned that lesson because here's the thing with prayer. If people who attend church are honest with ourselves, a lot would have to admit that they pray occasionally and not consistently. And that often it's not until the crisis comes that we realize that we should be praying more. And I'm not going to tell you it's too late, because the good news about God is it's never too late. But I'm going to tell you that it's difficult to catch up when you've got nothing in the tank. Because you got to remember, it's not what you do occasionally that makes a difference. It's what you do consistently. This is a problem in so many areas of our life, not just prayer, in exercise. I mean, so many of us want to be healthy and we want to exercise, but the reality is we exercise occasionally and not consistently, right? And so we wonder why we're not getting stronger or faster or leaner or any of those things. It's because it takes consistency. Maybe you want to, you know, retire one day and not have to work all the days of your life and have some years where you can go and do the things that you want to do and travel and have fun and all the things. And I'm just telling you that one of the things that's going to have to happen is you're going to have to save and invest consistently, not occasionally. Married couples, you probably don't want to be intimate occasionally. You probably want to be intimate consistently, right? Are you seeing all the ways that this plays into it? I mean, I'm talking about prayer, but I'm really trying to help you in every part of your life. I thought the men would say amen to that, but you missed it, okay? Consistency is hard. Would you agree with that? Consistency is hard. So what do? Maybe you've read the book by Simon Sinek. He popularized the idea of start with why. So I began asking myself, why did Daniel pray consistently? And I'll just tell you, it wasn't for a show. It wasn't for others. It wasn't meant to be public. Remember, he went upstairs to his room, and he got alone with God. And so here's the word that I found as I thought about the why is this, is that I believe that his why was that Daniel was devoted. He was devoted. That's a key to consistency, is where does our devotion lie? A lot of Christians have a desire to pray, but they lack the devotion. And there's a big difference in desire and devotion. Can I just tell you that desire alone won't cut it? I desire to be healthy, but if I'm going to be healthy, I'm going to have to be devoted. I can desire a great marriage, but to have a great marriage, I'm going to have to be devoted. I can desire to live for God, but devotion is what's going to make it happen. And here's what's so powerful about devotion is that devotion requires you to have a real why. Devotion requires that why to be solid. Devotion will push you past the obstacles. Daniel was threatened, but he didn't bat an eye because he was devoted. He was consistent. He knew his why, and it kept him consistent. Now, I want to be careful because sometimes when we teach on prayer, it becomes because of what we believe and how important it is, and that we believe that we should be consistent in our prayer, but sometimes it can become a rule. It's like, well, I have to because I'm a Christ follower, or it becomes religious, or it can. And so I want you to know this, that as I'm helping you today with your consistency, it's not a rule, it's not a ritual, it's not religious, but I'm hopeful that it's because of relationship. You know, those that we are in relationship with, that we love, we have no problem seeing them, talking to them, being with them, relating with them consistently. And this is the same thing with prayer, because again, prayer at its most basic, you know, foundational piece, it's simply talking and listening to God. It's relationship. It's not a rule. It's not religious. It's not a ritual. It's about relationship. This week, I've told you through this series that our staff meets on Tuesdays for staff meeting, but before we meet, we spend our time in prayer, and this week, this happens quite often, but I was in my office. I had come actually early. I had a lot of things to get done, and so I knew I had a 10 o'clock, you know, time before we were going to pray, and so I was trying. I was working. I was getting all my stuff done, and all of a sudden, I looked at my watch, and I said, oh my goodness, how is it already 10 o'clock? And we're remodeling our offices upstairs. We're about 2 or 3 weeks from moving in. And so this week, Pastor Jace and his crew came and they stole all of our doors in our current office. And they moved all of our doors upstairs to our new offices. So all week long, we had offices with no doors. So when I said out loud, I said, oh my goodness, how is it already 10 o'clock? I turned around and I realized we have no doors. And everybody heard me. And when I said that, I heard a couple of people respond as if I was talking to them. I wasn't, but they probably thought I was. And they're like, I know. How's it already? They responded to that. And so I got up and I said, all right, guys, we're going. We're going to the sanctuary. And Pastor Tyler had already come in early and had some music on and had the lights on. And I'm just telling you, as soon as I walked through the door, I felt, I was in my doorless office and I was kind of anxious, like, how is it already 10? My list isn't done. What am I going to do? But I decided we're going to consistently pray together as a staff. And so I walked out and I came in the door. And as soon as I walked in that door, something different. I mean, there was something in this room all of a sudden. And what I realized in that moment is that Jesus knew that we were coming at 10 o'clock. And he was waiting on us. And all of a sudden, my heart changed and my mood changed. And I was amazed at how easy it was to enter God's presence. And I found myself so thankful that we can enter God's presence. And I love this. I love that we can enter God's presence anytime and anywhere. I mean, I've entered God's presence in a lot of places. Is anyone else? I've entered God's presence, you know, here at church. I've entered God's presence at my house. I've entered God's presence a lot of times on the side of a mountain. I've entered God's presence as I ran through the streets of Albuquerque. I've entered His presence in lots and lots of places. And I think that God enjoys when I spontaneously enter His presence, when all of a sudden I'm doing something and I just pause and I recognize His activity in our lives. I think all of that. I think He loves that. But what I really, really think He likes is when we're consistent. When, like, God knows that we can't wait to meet with Him. That when God knows, like, you know, like, I don't know if you do it like this or not, but I live by my calendar. I mean, I someone came to me this week, they said, "Hey, we'd love to meet with you and Lisa." And I said, "I'm gonna stop you right there. Just go talk to Lisa, because if it goes on our calendar, then it's gonna happen." Because you and I'm just gonna mess it up. That's what I told them. It needs to get on the calendar. Now, for a while, and again, I don't want it to get become a ritual or a rule, but for a while in my life, I needed to prioritize my consistency with the Lord. And so I actually put it on my calendar as a recurring daily event, because I needed that reminder that, hey, every day I have a meeting with the Lord. I don't do that any longer, because now I'll just tell you, most days I'm looking forward to it. Most days, I can't wait to get in the presence of God. So we keep on praying. That's consistent. Here's a second word. It's going to be really similar, but I promise it's different. Is this persistence? So we have consistency and persistence. This answers the question, is it okay to pray about the same thing more than once? You know, some people might think it's offensive to talk to God more than once about the same thing. But I want to teach you today that we pray consistently. That's as often as possible. But we also have to learn to be persistent in our prayers. You might have seen this in your own life, in your own family, but kids do a pretty good job of this principle. Am I right? Kids, when they want something, they will ask you and ask you and ask you and ask you until either you give in or you lose your mind. Am I right? I mean, they will just ask you and ask you and ask you and ask you, right? This is the idea of persistence. So kids understand this. Professional athletes understand this. Professional athletes, their career is built on just persistence. They shoot the free throw over and over and over. They kick the ball over and over and over. They run the mile over and over and over. I know some of you will disagree with me, and if you do, you're wrong, and it's just that simple, that the best basketball player ever on the planet is Michael Jordan. If you have a different opinion, there's a lot of churches in this city. No, I'm teasing. Michael Jordan, you've probably heard this if you follow him at all. He's pretty famous for saying this. He said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." Persistence. Kids get it. Professional athletes get it. We need to get it. Christians, Christ followers need to get it. There's a story in Luke chapter 18 that in most of your Bibles, depending on the version, is probably titled "The Persistent Widow." It says this: Jesus told his disciples a parable, a story to show them, listen, this is why he tells this story, that they should always pray and not give up. That's literally to be persistent in prayer. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think," watch this, "because this widow keeps bothering me," right? Are we there yet? 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 Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. I thought of some words for persistence. I thought of the word nagging. Sometimes that's meant in a negative connotation. I'm using it today in a more positive connotation, that persistence. It's just nagging. It's like, God, did you hear me? God, I'm coming again. Hey, God, it's me. God, I'm praying for my kids. God, I'm praying for my marriage. God, I'm praying. Here I am again. Here's another word, relentless. Relentless. I'm not going to let up. Or maybe the word bold. I'm just going to keep asking until you do something. I'm going to just keep asking until you answer me. I'm going to keep asking. And then I thought of this word. I thought of the word dripping. Because in my mind, as I was thinking about this word, persistence, I thought of just the constant drip. 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 Have you ever had a leaky faucet that you could not get it to stop? It had just dripped, and it dripped, and it dripped, and it dripped. Jim Watkins says, a river cuts through rock, not because of its power, but because of its persistence. As I was thinking about persistent prayers, I realized that some of us in this room need to have some persistent prayers for our marriage. Some prayers that just say, I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to keep praying and believing that God, when you brought us together, that you had a plan. And even though the enemy has been winning along the way, I'm not going to quit, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to nag you, and I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to be like a dripping faucet, and I'm going to be relentless. I thought, you know, there's probably some friends here today that you need to pray some persistent prayers for your kids. I'm not giving up on my kids. I see the decisions that they're making, and I don't agree with the decisions they're making, but I'm going to keep praying. By the way, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, I think one of the most powerful forces on the planet is a praying parent and a praying grandparent. And I know at times it feels like you're not accomplishing anything, and it feels like, you know, you might just like, what I want to do is just march in there and grab them by the ear and teach them a lesson, you know, whatever. Just pray. I'm just telling you, it's the most powerful weapon in your entire repertoire. Just pray. There's nothing like a praying parent and a praying grandparent. Persistent prayer. God, I'm not going to quit coming to you until you do something in my kid's life. I'm not going to quit praying until you get a hold of their heart. God, I am going to be persistent. You may not do this for any other reason except to make me shut up, right? Persistent. Some of us in this room need some persistent prayers for our city. In fact, I'd love to just dive into this one for just a second. I already mentioned that on Friday, we're going to pray over our city in preparation for Extravaganza and for Easter. And I'll just tell you kind of where this started is that Lisa and I have been here for a little over 10 years now. And for 10 years, I've been praying persistent prayers over our city, specifically praying over Taylor Ranch and over the West Side. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many prayers I've prayed over this city. I can't tell you how many miles I've put in walking and running the neighborhoods of Taylor Ranch. And I sometimes think that if someone were looking out their window at the right time, they would have some serious questions about the man running past their house, because sometimes I just can't help it, because often I'm praying out loud and often I'm pointing it. I'm just praying, Lord, I pray over that house, and I pray over that house, and I pray over that house, and I pray over, right? And I think, what are people thinking when they see the crazy pastor running around Taylor Ranch? And I'll just tell you, I don't really care what they're thinking. Because when God called us to Harvest, he put three things in our hearts. And one of them was this. He told us to love our city. And so we got hyper-focused on loving our city. And so one of the places that we knew was a stronghold for the enemy that we needed to find a way to get in and to make a difference was in our public schools. And so I just tell you that, I mean, I'm talking hundreds of times I have laced up my shoes right here at the office or from my house, and I've ran to Marie Hughes Elementary, and I have circled that school and prayed over that school. And I begin running through that neighborhood because I'm going, God, these are the families that are in that school. Will you do something in their lives? God, would you give us favor? And then I begin to learn the names of administrators and teachers, and I begin to pray for them by name. And I'm just telling you, this is a persistent prayer for me, and I'm asking you to make it a persistent prayer for you because you're part of Harvest. This is why we're going on Friday to walk and to pray. I had a really cool moment this week. April 7th, we're going to have a water baptism, and one of the individuals, Diane, who is going to be baptized on the 7th, she said, Pastor, can I come in and share my story with you? I said, oh, I would love that. So she came in this week, and I'll tell you more about it when we baptize her. But as we were talking, this was my moment that was so, just so amazing, because as we were talking, I realized that Diane lives in Taylor Ranch. In fact, she's a neighbor to Dave and Rose. And the way that she found the church is that Dave and Rose have been witnessing to her for a really, really, really long time. And Diane, because of a medical procedure, ended up in a wheelchair. And so Rose called the church, this is years ago, and said, hey, is there some guys that could build a handicap ramp to help my friend Diane get to her house? And so we told Pastor Jerry, and he gathered some men, and they went over and they built a ramp for her. And she said, I can't believe that a church that I don't even go to would come and build a ramp for me. And so eventually the curiosity got the best of her, and she said to Rose, she said, don't you go to a women's Bible study? I'd love to go to the women's Bible study. And so for months and months and months, Diane was going to the women's Bible study. She still wasn't coming on Sundays. She'll even tell you, for most of that time in women's Bible study, she didn't know Jesus. It would come time to pray. She said, I didn't know how to pray. I mean, all of these things, she's just discovering, she's learning, she's being loved on by the church. And one Sunday, she came in on a Sunday morning, and then she gave her heart to Jesus. And last week, she's stuffing eggs for extravaganza, and she waves me over and she says, Pastor, I'm ready to get baptized. And she was pretty persistent, because I thought, man, Diane, I was thinking this, you're in a wheelchair and I don't know how we're going to do that. And I started to say, what about our summer pool party? Because I thought that'd be a little bit easier. And she stopped me. I mean, she just stopped me. She said, Pastor, I want to be baptized on April 7th at Harvest, on the stage, in the tank, because my brother's coming that day and I want him to see it. And I said, okay, we'll figure it out, right? But as she's telling me that story, I teared up and I said, Diane, for 10 years, I've been praying for families like yours in Taylor Ranch. And most of the time, I've just got my head down. I'm just running. I'm working. We're doing. We're planning. We're stuffing eggs. We're doing. And I just had to pause and remember that God honors persistent prayers. Can I tell you what happened in that moment? Is I decided I'm going to keep on doing it. It wasn't like, oh, well, Diane's here. I don't have to pray that prayer any longer. Can I just tell you? In fact, some of you might already know this. There are still lost people in Taylor Ranch. Did you know that? There are still families in your neighborhood, in your community, that need Jesus. And so I'm asking you to pray persistently. So consistence and persistence. And here's the last one. We'll end on this. It won't take long, I promise. Perseverance. I asked you earlier, let me just ask you again, have any of you ever prayed for something for a long time? A long time. How about this? This is kind of a hard one. Have you ever prayed for something and then you saw someone else get the same miracle that you were praying for? Anyone else? And then that's tricky, because then you begin to wonder, well, God, I've been praying that. Why didn't you do that for me, right? And this is one of those mysteries in prayer, is that even though we know that God is able, do you know that God is able? I mean, really, do you know that God is able? Last night we had a banquet for our basketball team and for the Ava's on. And afterwards, we're just talking to one of the families there, and it just turned into to them sharing their testimony with us. And it turned into, man, God saved me from alcoholism, and I went into Teen Challenge, and God set me free. And then I got out, and then I got married, and we had a kid, and that's another miracle. I don't have time for that. And did I tell you about the time that God healed my dad from cancer? And, I mean, it was just like, oh, bam, boom, all these things, you know. And I was so encouraged by it. It was just such a cool moment for Lisa and I as we just stood in this, you know, ugly gym hearing about the power of God. And our friend, he said to us, he said, God still does miracles. Do you believe that? So here's the mystery in prayer is that even though we know that God is able, he doesn't always answer every prayer the way we think that he should. I don't like what I'm about to tell you, but what I've learned about persevering prayer is that it's often about God developing his character in us. I don't like that. I wish he'd just heal and provide and just show off. Sometimes it seems like God is quiet. I'm asking you today to persevere, to keep praying, keep on praying. So consistency is about praying regularly, and persistence is about praying repetitively. Perseverance is about praying rigorously. I mean, just keep on praying. This is about praying when things are hard and you're not seeing the answers and you don't feel like praying, and just keep on praying. There was a term when I was a kid growing up in church. Some of you will remember this phrase. How many of you remember someone saying this? Say, I just got to pray through. Anyone remember people saying that? I just got to pray through. I'm just going to pray through. But that's language of a persevering prayer. Like, I'm just going to pray until something happens. I'm just going to pray until, I'm going to push through. I'm going to pray through. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 29 tell a story about a woman who has had a long time issue with blood. We don't know exactly what it is. In most of your Bibles, it says the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know that it was there for a long time. And in Mark chapter 5, there's a large crowd, and people are pressing around Jesus. Miracles have been happening, and so people are trying to get to Jesus. And I don't know if you remember this story, but the woman with the issue of blood, she pushes through the crowd. She perseveres. She gets to Jesus, and she touches Jesus. And it wasn't just like I touched, you know, the pulpit. It wasn't just a touch. It was a touch of faith. She reached out and she believed, if I can just get to Jesus, he'll change my life. This is persevering prayer. It's like, if I just push through, if I pray through, if I can just get there, if I can just touch Jesus, if I get in the presence, something will change. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 10, this is the last passage, I promise. Some of you are like, I don't know if I can persevere through this. You can. Jesus teaches us about perseverance in prayer with this story. He says, suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. It's got to be a college student because no one else eats at midnight, right? A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, this is what I would say, so don't show up at my house at midnight. Don't bother me. The door is already locked. In fact, I'll just tell you through our doorbell. I'll just stay in bed. I'll say, go away. I'm in bed. The door is locked. What is wrong with you? He says, go away. I can't give you anything to eat. Verse 8. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give you the bread because of friendship, that's a pretty good reason to do something, right? Because of friendship. Yet because of your shameless audacity, He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In the New Living Translation, that verse about where it says shameless audacity, it says this: but I tell you, even though he won't do it for your friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need. Why don't you stand with me? And we're going to pray some bold, consistent, persevering, persistent prayers today. And I want to ask you today, especially those of you that have been praying a prayer for a long time, or a big prayer, big prayers too, big prayers that you know, like if God does not show up, I'm in trouble. I need to ask you today to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, to keep praying. I'm going to tell you one more thing, and then I'm going to have worship team lead us in a final song. And as they're singing this last song, I'm going to invite you to join me down here at the front. If you have a big prayer that you'd like to pray today, if you'd like to believe for a miracle, because what's going to happen is I'm going to come back up and we're going to pray together, and it's just going to be, we're just going to go, hey God, I'm back. I know you've heard this before, but I'm asking again. And sometimes I literally pray this: God, I'm going to keep asking until you do something about this. Don't you hate when parents do that, when they slow their voice down, you know, as if it makes it any better? So then I do that to God sometimes. I'm like, God, this is me. If you will answer my prayer, I'll stop doing like this. That's what we're going to do together. We're just going to ask. We're going to seek. We're going to knock. I won't go into detail, but I'll just tell you this. Without a doubt, Satan did not want you to be here today to hear this message. We don't have time. I just promise you. And I just had this idea all week in my heart. What if the next prayer is the one he answers? What if it, so then I could think of the opposite. Like, what if I quit just before he was about to do something, right? I want to go with the positive. What if it's the next one? What if the next prayer is the prayer that heals your body? What if it's the next prayer that restores your marriage? What if it's the next prayer that God opens heaven over your life and blesses you beyond your comprehension? What if it was one more prayer and all you had to do was have the audacity to knock, to ask, to pray again? So I'm going to have the worship team, y'all can go ahead and come up. I'm going to have them lead us in a final song. And if you have a big prayer that you want to ask God one more time for, would you just come? And we're going to pray together. And we're going to see God do some miracles. Let's pray. Let's worship.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.